The views given on the following program are not necessarily the views of the station management or staff. Since individual situations can and will be different, please remember this when exercising any options presented by our guests.
Success is equated with excess. The ambition for excess wrecks us. As the top of the mountain becomes the bottom line, where success is equated with excess.
This is Care for My Wealth. With Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management, your fee-only investment firm. Now, here's your Care for My Wealth guy, Chris Klein.
This is Care for My Wealth here on Fox Sports 1070 The Game, hanging out this Saturday morning with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management. You can learn more about Chris and his team online, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. You can also follow Chris on Twitter, at Care for My Wealth. You can also listen, so many different ways to listen and stay caught up with Chris. The podcast is available on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, all the popular podcast platforms, also available on your smart speaker. The telephone number to call Chris and the team at Capstone Wealth Management, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. And Chris, busy time of year for you for a number of reasons, isn't it, my friend?
It is. I apologize for the audio, as you got me for a short period here on the road. As you know, it's fall season for collegiate baseball, and so therefore we get to chase Levi around and watch his team play. So good stuff.
Yeah, it's great to have you, and what an exciting time of year. And I know your son's worked really, really hard for all of this, and it's great to have mom and dad in the stands. And it's great with modern technology, you're able to get to those and join us this morning as well for the show. There's been, obviously, the last few months have been quite dramatic with what's been going on, and we've been following it here very closely on Care for My Wealth. Let's talk about kind of what's been going on. There's those rallies that come and go, and people tend to get a little bit overly optimistic about what those are and what those are indicators of. What are you seeing, and what do folks need to know, Chris?
Yeah, good question. So it's still a bit more of the same, which I know perhaps sounds to some like a broken record, but when you're in phase two of the bear market, or partly of what we would start to see the development of stage three, phase two, I know that may sound a little odd, things get a lot harder. And the reason why things get a lot harder is that you have a lot of forces that are opposing one another, right? You've got a ton of people who are still very bullish on the market. Of course, every time you tend to tune into mainstream, you know, their job is to sell stock. So more often than not, they're going to be very bullish. And so if someone doesn't have a good, strong process on how to handle risk management in the midst of a bear market, that type of conversation can suck you in at really exactly the wrong time. So you've got an opposing force pulling you that way. And then, of course, you have the real opposing forces of what the bear market is all about. And that is just deteriorating, slowing growth inside of a greater developing disinflationary environment, while at the same time the Fed doesn't see that. And I know that that's so strange for most people to understand, but it's absolutely the truth. They just simply don't understand that in the middle of a growth deterioration or growth decelerating cycle, while a central bank is tightening, raising interest rates, quantitatively tightening, in other words, taking money out of the system, that has such an amazingly detrimental effect to the system. So on one hand, you've got this opposing effect of what's happening fundamentally with the slowdown, and on the other hand, you've got the opposing effect of what takes place with people believing that it's over, and they just keep systematically piling in while markets go through these 2-, 3-, 4-day rallies. So I'd caution people that when you see these 2-, 3 type day rallies and you think that the end of the bear market is here, it's just not. And volatility is telling us it's not. And of course, just the fundamentals of it all, right? I mean, you don't have to look very far to realize that input costs for most companies of almost every single sector are really, really, really through the roof. Well, if your input costs have gone up a lot, you've got to make some very serious choices about how you're running your business. One, you can either choose to slow down some of your production, which of course minimizes the supply of that thing, because in the midst of the Fed's what we call Operation Break stuff, right?
Yes.
Their job has been essentially, and they've been very clear about it, is to basically destroy demand. Hmm. Now, I don't know if people actually saw some of the language that the Fed talked about when they started to actually engage in their tightening process, but Chair Powell was very clear. He said, look, we need to slow down demand. Well, they get that through the tightening process of monetary policy, and it manifests itself when companies have a tendency to have to deal with that tightening. Well, now we've got something very, very different this cycle, and that's inflation, right? And everybody can see it. Everybody can feel it. If you're living and breathing, you're experiencing inflation at the smallest of levels, grocery levels, you name it, and you're experiencing it. Well, so are companies. Their input costs, if you're a manufacturer, the cost of your inputs, whether it be metals, wood, whether it be different agricultural type inputs, fertilizers, it doesn't matter what it is. Everything, literally across the board, has gone up, and not by a little. So much so that there are some companies who have actually now started to say, well, we're going to cut production. The largest fertilizer manufacturer in the world, which happens to be a Dutch company, they're slashing their production by 50%.
Wow.
All right. Well, you slash your production by 50%, that clearly reduces supply. If supply goes down and demand doesn't come down much, well, then, of course, price is going to go up. And so, therefore, the end users of that product, in this case fertilizer, are going to be really in a difficult spot, which, you know, for most people, they'd see as the farming community. How about manufacturers that are experiencing and having to deal with the dramatic change in the cost of things like, as I said, material or industrial metals or perhaps lumber, right? Natural gas. Lots and lots and lots of companies will use natural gas in their manufacturing process, or at the very least, maybe their heating process. There's a company in Germany. I'll share this with you real quickly just so you can get a glimpse at it. There's a company in Germany that's only 100 years old.
Okay.
It's been around a while.
Yes.
A company by the name of Hackle, H-A-K-L-E. It's a very, very large German toilet paper manufacturer. Well, and obviously they sell a lot of that sort of stuff. Well, guess what? This last week they filed for insolvency.
Ooh.
And they're declaring the reason is because massive price increases for energy and pulp, you know, i.e. wood, just drove it into a corner. They couldn't function anymore. So I think we're at the precipice just simply based on the rate of change of the math of the data that's both high frequency and intermediate frequency that keeps coming in, that we're literally at the beginning stages of this really good, I shouldn't say good, scratch that, strong deceleration. We're already in a recession. I'm going to say this. Anyone who believes that we are not in a recession right now is crazy. We are absolutely already in a recession. And, of course, it's going to take time before the powers that be come out and say, yeah, the recession started on this time and this day. They're always late in declaring that stuff. There's never an instance where they're not late in declaring that the recession is here. So if that's happening and the Federal Reserve is still tightening through that process, it's still the beginning stages of this thing, right? So the market continues to give people these opportunities to get out of the way. I don't know how many more are left before we ultimately get in the middle of that stage three within phase two of the bear market, and that stage three is panic. I have no idea when that hits, but it will, and it always does. This isn't our first rodeo when it comes to managing a bear market. It always happens, and it's going to catch people by surprise at exactly the time they don't expect it, a time in which they think that the market's corrected itself, all that it's going to correct, and everything's hunky-dory, and we're moving on. But it's going to happen. Now, how long does that take? Again, I have no idea. And I don't know what the catalyst is going to be that does it. Maybe it's a large U.S. company that folds. Mm-hmm. Who could that be? I don't know, right? I don't know. But if you've got a 100-year-old toilet paper manufacturer that clearly has a product that is needed whether you're in a recession or depression or not,
yeah,
decides to file for bankruptcy, to me, that says an awful lot. Now, granted, that's in Germany. They shut down Nord Stream 2, which is the supply of gas coming from Russia, dead-ending ultimately in Germany. They shut that off. They haven't restarted it. They haven't discussed when any timing of restarting it's going to happen. That's a problem. So, you know, Germany has an energy issue that I think is far worse than what we here in the United States are dealing with. But at the end of the day, if natural gas keeps going up, that's going to impact manufacturing here in the U.S. It's going to impact the end user, the consumer, right? Mm-hmm. And so the one thing I think everybody needs to recognize is that you've got to forget to some extent about 2000, 2001, and you've got to forget about 2008. And the reason is those recessions were Wall Street recessions. They started there. And they ended up working themselves into Main Street. John, this is a Main Street recession. The recession that we have on file and on board right now is a Main Street recession. It's the consumer that's getting hit. Well, if the consumer has destruction of demand and slows down all their net expenditures in material ways, which I think over the next several months they will, that clearly impacts businesses, which, of course, both private and public will be impacted. So it's some of the same, but it's some new stuff, of course, as things develop. There's always something new. All the major points that I would point to people here is still don't trust these rallies. Don't get sucked in by them. It is not the beginning of a new bull market, at least not yet. The signals aren't there. The math isn't telling us things have decelerated enough. And so when I'm bullish, believe me, I think I'm going to bring a trumpet on the show and blow that as loud as I can.
Follow it with a big charge. Talking this morning with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management, online careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. Also, I find Chris on Twitter at careformywealth. More information, you can email info@careformywealth.com. That's info@careformywealth.com. Most important thing to do this morning, pick up the phone, give Chris a call, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. You mentioned, Chris, that this recession began on Main Street, worked its way over to Wall Street, converse to what we've seen in the past. Does that take longer for recovery when it works that way? It seems like if Wall Street has something going on, day-to-day Main Street can still function. I look at my little Main Street here in my little town. What happens on Wall Street does affect day-to-day stuff there, but not as significantly as reversed. If Main Street starts slowing down and that affects Wall Street, seems like it's a deeper recession, a longer recession. You're the guy here. Do we see like a longer recovery when it's in that reversed order of Main Street leading to Wall Street recession?
In this case, probably. And I think the reason why that might be the case is that we haven't even started to see the inflection point of employment yet, right? I mean, we're still at very, very, very high employment levels. In fact, if I've got a chart in my hands here, if you were to look at the U.S. full-time employment data for both primary and secondary job holders that are deemed full-time, we're literally at all-time highs. I mean, going all the way back to 1993, we haven't touched these levels. Now, people will say, well, that's awesome. Everybody's working. Yeah, but that's always the end of the cycle. That's always the way it looks. When everything is ready to go to heck in a handbasket, employment's the last thing to go, right? That's just the way it is. So the fact that we're sitting at an apex of employment, for me, just confirms that we're in a very heavy quad four. And remember, quad four, decelerating growth, disinflation on the margins. We've got four of them in a row that are currently being casted out. Now, the last time we had that was 2001 into 2002. That particular bear market took close to 2 years to cycle out. And we didn't have the kinds of bubbles that we have today. And what do I mean by that? Well, we've got a crypto bubble. We absolutely had a stock bubble and still do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can measure that in a number of different ways. We've got a high yield bond bubble. That bubble is ginormous. I mean, the amount of money that's been lent to profitless companies is absurd. So it's a bubble. So you've got that. You've got clearly, to some extent, certain amounts of sovereign bond bubbles because interest rates have been artificially held so low for so long. And then on top of that, you've got the housing bubble again, right? Mm. You add all of that up. In 2008, it was simply a housing bubble that started itself due to the problem of too much leverage on Wall Street, and it blew up. Back in the 2000-2002 era, you had the dot-com bubble, so it was an equity bubble. We have a way different environment today. So to answer your question, do I think it could last a lot longer than people think? Mm. Yes, I do. And I think the way that this bear market could ultimately manifest itself out is just literally grinding everybody to a pulp, grinding the bulls, grinding the bears. The minute you think a bear market's going to collapse into a panic, you get a 2-3 day rally, they capitulate, and then you get a smack in the head and it goes down for a week. So it kills the bulls on the other side. Mm. That's the kind of environment that literally wears people out, right? So this is a time, I think, where simplification gets really super valuable. And I know we're getting a little long in the tooth, so I've actually got an analogy for you that, since it's a baseball weekend,
yes,
I'll give you that analogy when we get back in terms of simplification of what it looks like in the world of baseball and why I think it's so valuable in terms of market perspective and how you handle this stage of the bear market.
We'll talk about that simplification. We'll get that. We'll talk a little bit about baseball. We'll get into Chris's notebook. We will do all of that next. In the meantime, if you haven't been to the website, careformywealth.com, now is the time to head on over there and learn more about Chris and his team at Capstone Wealth Management. Again, the website, careformywealth.com. Missed any part of today's program or you want to listen back to previous shows, you can, of course, listen at the website, careformywealth.com. Also available podcast form where you can subscribe on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, all your favorite podcasting platforms. You can also ask your smart speaker to play the most recent episode of the program and follow Chris on Twitter at careformywealth. That's at careformywealth.com. The telephone number, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886 for Chris and Capstone Wealth Management. Again, that number, 866-596-9886. We'll continue our conversation with Chris next here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game. This is Care for My Wealth right here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game. And I say right here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game, if you're listening to us on the radio, you're saying absolutely. If you're listening to us on a podcast, you're saying, wait a second, we're all over the place. And that is absolutely correct. Not only available on the radio each and every Saturday morning, you can listen back to the programs as well, not only on iHeartRadio, but iTunes, Spotify, all the big podcasting platforms. You can find Care for My Wealth there. Also, you can ask your smart speaker to play the program as well. So a lot of great opportunities to keep up with Chris and what he's up to and all the great information from the folks at Capstone Wealth Management. You can also follow on Twitter at Care for My Wealth. That's at Care for My Wealth. The website, careformywealth.com. Email info at careformywealth.com. And the telephone number, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. A lot of great opportunities to simplify your connection with Chris and Capstone Wealth Management. And speaking of simplification, Chris, you mentioned before the break, we are in very chaotic times, and, you know, having someone like you to kind of break it all down for us. I know you are very much into the day-to-day, moment-to-moment, second-by-second, go-anywhere kind of thing when it comes to following investments. For a lot of folks, they say, well, let's kind of boil this stuff down. Let's make it simple. Let's kind of get to the basics. What should folks be looking at and focusing in on right now? Kind of just kind of a simple overview of where we are globally and locally economically.
Yeah, great question. So I talked about before that first break there, simplification as it relates to their portfolio. And I do think that's a really big deal. A quick analogy, since we are in the midst of baseball season, most everyone that's listened to me for a while knows that my youngest son, Levi, plays collegiate baseball. And there are times where simplification within the game is super valuable. For example, he called me the other day. He says, hey, Dad, I changed my swing. I'm like, well, okay, that's interesting. Well, not really. I just got rid of a really high leg kick. I said, really? What's on your mind? He says, the speeds are a little bit different and the off speeds are way different. In other words, you'll get a 93 mile an hour fastball and then a 75 mile an hour changeup or 80 mile an hour curveball. Now, anyone who's played baseball before, to get your eyes tracking 93 to then track 75 is not easy. And if you have a lot of body movement, your head moves a little bit more than it should. And the next thing you know, you start missing the ball. You hit just underneath it, and it just becomes a hitter's nightmare. So what do? You simplify. Now, anyone who's been a baseball player or watcher will know that the really good baseball players, if they've got two strikes against them, they change their approach. Two strikes against you in the batter's box in the game of baseball means you're down. And the next pitch matters a lot, so you better get it right. That's where these guys simplify. You'll see them choke up on the bat. You'll see them spread their stance a little bit, and you'll see way less movement from their bottom half in terms of a high leg kick or something like that. And more often than not, they'll get good contact with the ball. Well, guess what? That's exactly what he decided to do, and that's exactly what you need to do with your portfolio when in phase two, going into stage three, phase three, I should call it, of the bear market. How do you simplify? Well, for some who are sitting in the middle of a 401k with really the only choices of owning either stock funds, bond funds, or target date funds, your best choice literally is cash. Cash has been absolutely the best place to be for the entire year. The U.S. dollar is up 14% so far this year.
Wow.
Now, that's in the face of hearing everybody talk about how the dollar is getting devalued because of inflation. It doesn't always work that way. Yes, inflation has hurt people and therefore made their dollar less valuable. But when you're looking at the dollar as simply an asset class within the world of currency, the dollar has appreciated 14% so far in the year 2022. I think, Sean, that comes as a very big surprise to most people. So cash is the most valuable thing you can have in the cycle of a market where equities are confused. We're in the midst of lots of bubbles. We haven't even hit the real show yet in terms of fireworks for equity markets or bond markets. We're just in a grinding phase as it relates to markets manifesting decelerating growth and disinflation on the margins, right? So that's one area of simplification that you can handle. If you have a portfolio where you can make lots of choices, then currencies can give you a great opportunity. The European Central Bank came out this last week, Thursday, and announced a 75 basis point rate hike. That's 0.75%. Now, I'm not sure how or why anyone who has paid any attention to market history believes that heading into a recession, making credit harder to get is a great idea. But the ECB did it, and it was widely expected that that's what they would do. But then they came out and said, we're more likely than not going to do it again in October. I said this last week, Sean. Every single central bank on the planet, with the exception of China and Turkey, are doing the same thing. They're tightening into a global slowdown. And it's a slowdown that's starting with the consumer, starting on Main Street, right? So simplification in terms of currencies, owning the dollar, shorting the euro. The yen, yeah, who knows? That thing is probably just gone. How gone? I don't know. It's going to have rallies and destruction and rallies and destruction all the way down. But their government has made it clear they're going to print yen for as long as it matters. And I have no idea how long that is. But the yen is terrible. The yen is down like over 20% so far this year. So you put that against your long dollar position, and that's pretty good. You're not doing too bad. The euro did not respond at all when the ECB raised rates. Ordinarily, you see a rate increase from a central bank, and you'll get a little bit of upward movement in the value of their currency, because now, obviously, it may make more sense for people to hold that currency at a particular financial institution, a bank, or whatever it might be, and get more interest. Well, I don't think that's the case, and the market didn't seem to care a whole lot. So for us, we're just waiting for that opportunity to short more euros against the dollars that we own with inside a portfolio that we're working very hard just simply to keep simple and keep the noise away. if you think for a minute that I'm crazy about how the Fed is viewing this current situation, or if you think that I'm crazy that they're not going to change course, even if the market's down 30%, which, by the way, the NASDAQ and the Russell 2000 are essentially right there, right? Mm-hmm. If you think I'm nuts that the Fed's not going to change, listen to this. Now, Fed Chair Powell said this over this past week, and again on September 21, so coming up here in the next couple of weeks, they have their next meeting where they're widely expected to raise interest rates another 75 basis points, with the market expecting at a minimum another 75 basis points or 0.75% after that. In other words, the market right now is pricing in an additional 1.5% increase in the current interest rate market, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said this after all that information and all that news is already out. I quote, "The Fed needs to act forthrightly and strongly on inflation, and that history strongly cautions against premature loosening of monetary policy." Now, let that sink in just a second. Fed Chair Powell is not saying, hey, look, if the market collapses 30%, which is the historical put level, we'll flip.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's saying the exact opposite. He's saying that, hey, look, history cautions strongly against prematurely loosening policy. And he further went on to say, I can assure you that my colleagues and I are strongly committed to this project, and we will keep at it until the job is done. Well, what's the job?
Yeah.
The job is demand destruction so that inflation gets under control according to their metrics. Well, what are their metrics? 2.5% inflation. We're still over 8%. Everyone needs to recognize that when you are in the midst of a strong deceleration of GDP, hey, we're headed to negative GDP, right? On a year-over-year basis, not just sequentially or quarter-over-quarter. When you are in the midst of a strong deceleration of GDP, while the Fed is tightening to the extent that they are, you have to trust them and don't fight the Fed. Don't fight the Fed when they're liquefying and they create a new bull market. That's when you want to be in and strongly levered up. But the opposite is also true.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fight the Fed when they are tightening things down and telling people, hey, look, we're going to continue to raise rates until we do the job. And they have said a number of times, I mean, we literally track almost every comment that comes out of every Fed governor. And Sean, if I could show you just a smattering of them over the past couple of weeks, you'd be shocked that many of them are saying things like, look, people, even if we have to deal with some pain while we go through destroying inflation, well, then we're going to do it.
Mm.
Well, they never define what pain is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last time I checked, people whose portfolios might be down 40%. And oh, by the way, I know there are managers out there where that's exactly the case.
Mm-hmm.
That's a disaster. But that's not uncommon in this current market. People have to recognize that there's more likely than not, in our opinion, more to go. Yes, you get these 2-3 day rallies. Yes, you get these environments where everybody thinks that the end is here in terms of the bear market, and they start piling in, and then the market flips, and then it goes against them, and they all capitulate, and then it happens again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Capitulation happens on both sides, with bulls when they think the market has become oversold and they just want to pile in, and bears when they think the market's become overbought and they just want to pile in. It's a very, very, very difficult time right now in this phase section of phase two of the bear market, stage three coming, not here yet, but on its way in terms of a panic. This particular cycle is literally the hardest part of a bear market to mess with, no doubt. So that's what we're attempting to do in terms of simplification by working through the process of maintaining value in the portfolios and minimizing downward draw, but then also getting prepared for the next move. And the next move for us in the midst of a bear market is down. So we're setting up for, within this rally, the opportunity to see that collapse downward. And that's where we end up making up some ground, right? So there's a lot of ways to come at it. But if you happen to be a retirement type asset holder, 401k, 403b, all that type of stuff, you don't have a lot of choices. And your choices simply are to stay on the sidelines until the storm's gone. You've gotten some opportunities here recently that I've talked about over the last, well, several months. You got one in March. You got another one in July into August. And in the last couple of days, you've gotten another one again. And is it over? it's hard to say. I think it's getting very, 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 very close that that the market has outdone itself over a, you know, 2.5 to 3, maybe 4 day rally. We'll see what Monday pulls, but right now it's still the same story, and that's, you know, sell the rip.
Talking this morning with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management, the website careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. Great website and great resource to learn about Chris, his team, what makes them different, what makes them unique. Again, the website careformywealth.com. Telephone number 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. You can also email Chris, info@careformywealth.com. That's info@careformywealth.com. We'll talk more with Chris and a little bit, looking a little bit to the future, some opportunities that may be out there as we talk about what's been going on, where we are in this bear market, and what may lie ahead. We'll get those details from Chris next as Care for My Wealth continues right here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game. This is Care for My Wealth right here, Fox Sports 1070, The Game, talking with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management. Don't forget you can follow Chris on Twitter at Care for My Wealth. That's at Care for My Wealth. Find Chris there. Of course, the website, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. The podcast available not only here at foxsports1070.com, also available at careformywealth.com, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, all your favorite podcasting platforms. You can also listen to the program on your smart speaker as well as every Saturday morning right here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game. And the telephone number, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. And Chris, during the break, I was hearing you flip through your notebook, and I know you take diligent notes each and every week, and you keep kind of a running conversation going, just of notes of things you're catching in the markets. And let's take a look at kind of what's been in your notebook, what you've been following, what you've been keeping a particularly close eye on.
Yeah, kind of a lot of the same sort of stuff. So yesterday, so this is going to speak probably more to those people who have a more open architecture investment opportunity, meaning they can do lots of different things. And for the benefit of anyone who may not have heard the show before, Sean, and just to give a glimpse into maybe quickly how our process functions, we simply employ what we call a go-anywhere, multi-durational, multi-factor type investment system. Now, to break that down real quickly, all that simply means is that we're not stuck in the world of stocks. We're not stuck in the world of bonds. We're not stuck anywhere. We can own currencies. We can short currencies. We can own stocks. We can short stocks. We can own and short bonds. The same thing goes for commodities. It doesn't matter. Any asset class is open game. It depends on where we are in the economic cycle, and it depends on where we are in the timing of that cycle. And so sometimes people will ask, well, how do you know the cycle is shifting? It's a function of understanding rate of change math for both growth as defined by GDP and inflation as defined by CPI. When you calibrate these things, there are literally a multitude of very high frequency, like in some cases day over day or week over week, and in most cases month over month data plots within what makes up CPI and what makes up GDP, in addition to a number of other indicators that get built in there on this end, right? If we're seeing a rate of change slowdown consistently happening on the super high frequency stuff that bleeds into the intermediate frequency stuff, it starts to give you clues that, hey, there's a rate of change that's happening with GDP, or there's a rate of change that's happening with CPI. If it's accelerating, that moves us into an economic quadrant where all of a sudden risk assets start to do really well. Hey, that was 2021. If it starts to decelerate, well, then that starts to put us into a difficult spot. And the whole objective of understanding the rate of change behind growth and inflation is to front run the policymakers. Now, I can't stress enough how valuable and important it is to have a process and a modeling system that keeps you in front of global central banks. If you're in front of the global central banks before they tighten, you'll be out of the market before a bear market happens. Because people will ask, how did you know? And go back and listen to our shows in January. I was very clear, as you know, telling people that, look, the markets have rolled into a bear market on a price, volume, and volatility metric. You should probably do something to protect or defend yourself because this thing could take a while. that's a cool thing about podcasts. You can go back and listen. Mm-hmm. People will ask, how did you know? It's because of the super high frequency and intermediate term high frequency data that we get that describes the movement of rate of change math of growth and inflation. And because of that, it gave us the opportunity to get in front of what the Fed was going to do. No different than when we were buying commodities in June of 2020. Fed says, inflation's transitory. And we said, that's not what the rate of change math says. Time to own commodities. Well, now it's the opposite of that. So if you happen to be someone who can invest across the board within a go-anywhere strategy to protect your family's hard-earned capital, now is not the time to own commodities, maybe with the exception of natural gas. That's about the only one that's actually in bullish phase right now. Everything else is bearish. I wouldn't want to own oil. I wouldn't want to own any of the agricultural types of things. And then people will say, well, how can that be? There's supposed to be food shortages. And with the input costs being what they are, everybody's cutting down on supply. And I get it. But right now, the rate of change math is telling us that on the margins, commodities are disinflating. Now, if that rate of change math changes, I'll let everybody know. But right now, it's suggesting that commodities in general have found and hit their top and are starting to roll over, right? And so they're volatile. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not not something that everybody should just jump into. Again, as I said before, if you find yourself in a situation where you can put yourself in a shorting position, Europe is a mess. Europe is a complete train wreck. And Friday gave us a really interesting opportunity to start building back into our short positions on some of the European countries. And the European countries that look the worst right now are places like Poland and Austria and France and Germany and Italy. I mean, they literally just look terrible. In fact, you may have seen some of the posts that hit recently. People in Italy have decided we're not paying our energy bills.
Okay.
okay. Well, how's that going to work out? I don't know. People in Europe are finding themselves in a situation where they're looking at the cost of energy going up like 10 and 20 fold from what their average over the past couple of years have been. I don't know how businesses can function in that kind of an environment. And okay, so the government steps in and says, we're going to put a moratorium on the increase in your energy bill from, you know, X to Y. Okay, well, all you're doing, government, if you choose to do that, is liquefy the system more, which creates more inflation. I mean, somebody's got to pay that. I mean, it's not free. You don't get your energy for free. Just because you tell the people that are constituents of your country they don't have to pay the bill doesn't mean the bill isn't getting paid. Somebody's suffering in that capacity if the bill doesn't get paid, right? Mm-hmm. Some business somewhere is hurting. Or the government is choosing to print more money, and when they do that, they're just creating more inflation. You see the circle? You see the problem? That is the negative feedback loop that we're in right now. And so that's why when you see these rallies happen in the market that take place over two and a half, three days, they negatively feedback loop out of it more quickly. And that's what makes navigating the second phase of the bear market more difficult. Is because if you're going to be prepared for stage three of phase two of the bear market, which is the panic, you have to be working your way through that process of staying net short U.S. equity so that when the panic hits, you actually get the benefit from it, right? So when the market rallies a little bit, you end up with a negatively tilted, shorted portfolio. The market goes against you for a few days. Shouldn't be anything to be worried about. It's just part of the process.
Chris, we are talking a bit during one of the breaks, and one of the things you mentioned is, you know, as we go through these times and you talk about things like, you know, people panicking and doing those things, for the people that plan right and are prepared and aren't panicking and are expecting and you know, and working with somebody like you, there are going to be some pretty significant opportunities as we move through this bear market and as we move towards an eventual bull and a return. There's going to be some folks that worked through this properly that are really going to be in a very good position going forward.
I think you're right. To be clear, nobody, and I mean nobody on the planet, knows exactly how this is going to play out. Mm-hmm. We've got a pretty good idea, but at the end of the day, to take our math beyond 3 months is really, really hard. Mm-hmm. We have to literally take what markets give us week over week month over month, quarter over quarter. So nobody knows exactly how it's all ultimately going to be playing out. But I do believe, based on the data that we have available to us today, based on the actions of global central banks, not just here in the U.S., but across the world, maybe with the exception of China, that we're going to see some, and I hate to use this term, but I'm going to use it anyway, I think we're going to see some generational buying opportunity in lots of things. Things that are recreational, like maybe motorhomes and stuff. Things that are important, like housing. Things that are super valuable, like your 401k, stock positions, companies that you would love to own. Crypto. I don't think Bitcoin is going to go away, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think it's probably going to see more prices. How low? I have no idea. But we were very clear in January. If you own Bitcoin, you might want to sell it. Because in quad four, with growth and inflation decelerating, crypto doesn't do well. And, you know, what's Bitcoin down now? 70% from its peak?
Yeah.
Look, the math works. The process that we employ works. Do we have to sometimes go through some difficult stretches of markets because they get difficult? Yeah, of course. Everybody does. But we're protecting hard-earned capital. Portfolios at our firm are not down 30 and 40%, unlike many companies who are out there these days. And I know there are some hedge funds that are down even more than that. And I know some people listening are saying, well, hedge fund, I'm never going to get involved with that. No, you're not. Recognize that when you own a mutual fund, and I'll leave you with this, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every large to mid-cap mutual fund, but especially the large-cap mutual funds across the board, all look the same. It's the same over-owned trade. Everybody owns Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Google, Netflix, Tesla, Visa, MasterCard, Capital One, JP Morgan. Everybody owns them, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all one trade. And so if everything is over-owned by the same subset of people, you have to realize that when those businesses start to decelerate, it will impact their stock. Never forget, the last time we had a real serious recession back in 2000 through 2002, Amazon dropped close to 90%.
Wow.
It can happen, right? It can happen. So rule number one, protect your capital. Rule number two, go look at rule number one. And then when the bear market is over and the trumpet blast happens here on Care for My Wealth, then it'll be time to buy those generational lows.
Today is the day to sign up for trumpet lessons, as well as call Chris. Give him a call right now, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. Protect your capital, care for your wealth, work with Chris. He'd love to work with you. Again, it all starts with a phone call, 866-596-9886. Learn more online, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. Good luck for Levi today. And Chris, it's always great talking with you, and we'll talk real soon, my friend.
Thanks so much, man. Have a great day. Great weekend.
This is Care for My Wealth right here, Fox Sports 1070, The Game.